So let us return then to 1 Kings and the chapter 22. And we shall consider these verses from verse 1 through to verse 28, in particular focusing upon this prophet called Micaiah. Micaiah, the preacher of God's word. At the Protestant Reformation, this was one of the things that was rediscovered by the reformers. And that was the primacy of preaching. The primary role of the preaching of the Word of God. That Word of God, unchanged, unadulterated, preached purely and faithfully by the Protestant Reformation. Now, included in this discovery of the primacy of preaching is the importance of faithfulness to God's Word. The importance of faithfulness to the Word of God. It is an unchanging Word that we preach. Therefore, when we preach, we do not change the Word of God. 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes to the young minister, "Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He was to preach the word in every season. He was not to change that word which he preached, regardless of the season. No matter the cost of faithfulness, the cost of unfaithfulness would be always a greater cost to the true preacher of the Word of God. And throughout the history of the church, we have preachers who have stood kings and queens and governments to the face. We think of our own nation, John Knox, stood Mary Queen of Scots to the face. We think of Andrew Melville reminding a king that there was another king of which he was a subject of. So we have had many Micaiahs throughout the history of the church. Men who are faithful to the Word of God. So that's our study then for our time remaining. Micaiah, the preacher. Emphasis being on the preacher. Because as it was with the prophet Elijah before him, Elijah seemed as if he was all alone. And no doubt that was his experience. Here, Micaiah is alone. Because there's 400 other false preachers of the Lord's word, as we'll see. And yet Micaiah remains steadfast and faithful to the word of God. Well, we shall consider Micaiah the preacher under three heads. Firstly, an unpopular preacher. Secondly, a powerful preacher. And thirdly, a persecuted preacher. And what we will see is that all three are, as it were, linked together. Firstly then, an unpopular preacher. Verse 7 and verse 8 of chapter 22 we read, "And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." An unpopular preacher, unpopular with Ahab the king. Now, what led to this statement of hatred against Micaiah the preacher? Well, there are five things that we should know that led to this statement that showed that this preacher was not favoured by King Ahab. Well, firstly, we have the state visit of Jehoshaphat and the unwise alliances that Jehoshaphat entered into with King Ahab. We read in verse 2, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And then in verse 4, we see Jehoshaphat, this king of Judah, his willingness to go into battle with this king Ahab. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. What made Jehoshaphat enter into this unwise alliance with Ahab? Well, it was marriage. We read of a who was married in 2 Kings and chapter 8. And we read in the verse 18, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Who was that? That was Jehoshaphat's son. So he had entered into a marriage alliance with this wicked king Ahab. Verse 26. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. That was the king of Judah. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. She was really the daughter of Ahab, the granddaughter of Omri. And she was as wicked as Jezebel. And here she is married to the son of King Jehoshaphat. So we see that this king has been unwise and has led himself into an alliance with Ahab. And we will see that there is still a degree of piety with Jehoshaphat. That's why we can't really grasp, understand why he's done what he has done. It is wholly unwise. But secondly, we see Ahab's continued covetousness. See, there has been peace between Syria and Israel. And Ahab has his eye upon some land. Verse 3, and the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. It may have been his, but it was in the possession of the king of Syria. So just as Ahab desired the vineyard of a godly man, chapter 21, so now he desires this land that was in possession of the king of Syria. So Ahab hasn't let go of his covetous heart. We noted his repentance, didn't we, in the last chapter? And it was just a worldly repentance. It was a worldly sorrow. It wasn't a godly sorrow, not true repentance. For we see that his covetous heart remains within his own bosom. But thirdly, we have Jehoshaphat's piety. Verse 5. And here we see Jehoshaphat displaying some piety in the sense of inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat has agreed to go into battle with Ahab. But first, he says to Ahab, we must inquire at God's word. Of the word of the Lord. We can't just run headlong into battle without consulting God. We must know God's will. What is God's will for us? What is God's word for us? So we see the piety of Jehoshaphat. And it just amazes us, doesn't it, when we see such piety. How he was able to live in alliance, as it were, with wicked Ahab. Was able to enter in his family into marriage with the wicked family of Ahab and Jezebel. It's just astounding. And you know, sometimes we see this, we scratch our heads when we see of the things that some Christians do. How they easily enter into an alliance with sin. what the people have sinned. So easy. And so we have here Jehoshaphat. But we see his piety. But fourthly, Ahab's popular preachers. Verse 6. So Jehoshaphat's piety asks him, what about the word of the Lord? What does the Lord say? And then Ahab brings in his popular preachers. Verse 6. 400 men, 400 prophets. He gathers them together. He asks of them the same question. Look at their response. Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. 400, all singing up the same note, giving him the same response. But were these not the prophets of the Lord? Or were they prophets of some other order? You see, they in every way appeared to be, but for the content of their preaching. They appeared to be prophets of the Lord. You see, they preached in God's name. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord. They preached in God's name. They claimed God's Spirit. Verse 24. Zedekiah strikes Micaiah on the cheek. And he says to them, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? They claim the Spirit of the Lord. They presented promises from the Lord. Verse 12. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. So they give the promise of the Lord to King Ahab. These preachers spoke in the name of the Lord, claimed the Spirit of the Lord, claimed the promise of the Lord. Now these preachers were most likely of the order of Jeroboam's syncretic religion that we read off in 1 Kings chapter 12. That's what they were most likely, because we know that Ahab favoured a syncretic approach in a sense. He liked to have the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth mixed in with the worship of Jehovah, where Jezebel was just a totalitarian. She just wanted Baalism everywhere. So these prophets no doubt claimed allegiance to the Lord, to be prophets of the Lord, but they weren't. They were false preachers. They conformed every which way to the king's will. They were molded like a nose of wax. But fifthly, we have the discerning Jehoshaphat. And this is what led then to this statement of hatred against Micaiah the preacher. Look at the discernment of Jehoshaphat in verse 7. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Jehoshaphat rightly thinks that there's something wrong here. Here are 400 men, and they're all telling you to go up. They're all giving you the promise of victory. There's something wrong. There's not a dissenting voice among these 400. Is there not another one who will speak to us the word of the Lord? What did Jehoshaphat want? He wanted the voice of orthodoxy. That's what he wanted. Ahab didn't want the voice of orthodoxy. It didn't suit his plans. But Jehoshaphat wanted to hear the voice of orthodoxy. And dear congregation, that's what we want to hear in our pulpits throughout the land. We want to hear the voice of orthodoxy in the preaching of the Word of God. We mention with regards to the primacy of preaching in the Protestant Reformation. What did they preach? They preached orthodoxy. They went back to the Word, sola scriptura, the Word of God alone. Orthodox preaching of the Word of God. Ahab could not stand orthodoxy. Why? Because it did not suit his own preferences. He wanted his ears to be tickled, as it were. 2 Timothy chapter 4 again. And verse 3, Paul still advising Timothy, the young minister, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about New Testament Ahabites. That's what he's talking about. Those who do not want to hear the voice of orthodoxy. They want, with itching ears, to have these false teachers teach them their own preferences, to form the word of God to their own liking and to their own will. One writer remarked with regards to Ahab, and we can apply it to modern day society too. The king's fixation, however, was not upon what was true or false, but upon what was supportive or non-supportive. Now think about this. We can apply this with a great degree of relevance to this age in which we live. So the king here didn't care about what was true or false. The king only wanted to know what was supportive or non-supportive to his preference. And that's what we have in society today. People do not care with what is true or what is false. Rather, they care, do you support us or do you not support us? Does the message you preach support our perverse ideology? Does the message that you preach support our will, what we want to do, our liberty from God? And the sad thing is that there are many of these 400 preachers of Ahab in pulpits throughout the United Kingdom and throughout the Western world today. They do not preach orthodoxy. They do not preach the word of God in season or out of season. All they do is seek to be supportive to those who reject God's word, reject God's right over them, and seek to have their own way. And the evangelical church is endorsing this throughout the church, even at this day. Just as it is with Micaiah, so it is with unpopular preachers today. Who are the unpopular preachers today in society? Those who preach the orthodox message of the Word of God. Their fidelity is considered only as contrariness. That's what it's considered as. Those who are faithful to God's truth are only portrayed as those who are against. Oh, you're against this. You're against that. You're against another thing. You can't support us. We're not called to support. We're called to be faithful to God's word. Ahab hated the preacher because he hated the word of his mouth. That's why he hated Micaiah. Look, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. That's the reason he hated him, because of the words of his mouth. And what were the words of his mouth? It was the truth of the word of God. An unpopular preacher. But secondly, a powerful preacher. A powerful preacher. Verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What gave rise to this statement of Micaiah? This statement of unbending faithfulness to God's word preached. Well, He had been asked to form the content of his sermon around the authority and will of King Ahab. Look at the warning that he's given in verse 13 by the messenger. Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah, you better give the same message as these prophets have given. The content of your sermon better be supportive of the king. You better follow in their footsteps and preach the same word that they have preached. They are acceptable. Their word is acceptable to Ahab. And in order for you to be acceptable, you have to preach the same word. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? If you want to be accepted in society, or you want your church accepted in society, you have to conform your messages. Don't speak about sin. It makes people feel guilty. Makes them feel uncomfortable. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We want church to be a welcoming place. Therefore, change your message. Change the content of your sermons. This is the doctrine of Ahab. And it's alive and well in the church today. So he had been asked to change his sermon. You preach this message, Micaiah. You preach this message. Don't preach any other message. Preach this message. How long, dear congregation, will it be that to preach against sin, any form of sin, will be viewed as a hate crime? Whether it's the perverseness of homosexuality, whether it's adultery, whether it's any of these things, how long will it be until such preaching will be considered a hate crime because it will hurt another one's feelings? Oh, you can't preach against adultery because that man who left his wife for another woman, his feelings are hurt when you preach. Don't preach against adultery. Don't think that this is unthinkable. It could quite well happen yet. We're going in the right direction. What will we do? What will be our response? Will we, like Micaiah, say, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak? Will we, like Micaiah, be steadfast to the word of God? A sermon suited to the audience's preference. This is what this is, the request here. And that's what they want. They want sermons suited to the preference of modern day society. Any sermon that's not suited to their preferences is not wanted, and you're an unpopular preacher. Look at verse 10 and 12. The two kings get themselves ready in verse 10. They put their robes on in a void place, and they sit upon their thrones. And verse 10, we have a false prophet, Zedekiah, and he brings some instruments with him, the horns of iron. Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so everybody else joined in once again. Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. I bring those texts to your attention because I want to paint that picture to you. These two kings upon their thrones, these prophets all speaking with one voice, everybody rejoicing that the victory is certain because the Lord has so spoken. In these texts, can we not sense the great pressure that would have been brought to bear upon Micaiah the preacher? Think of the pressure that this man would have been under. Knowing that two kings sit awaiting his word. Knowing that everyone else speaks contrary to the message that he will have. from the Lord. Fearful pressure, and yet he remained a faithful preacher. Micaiah makes sure that everyone knows that it is the truth of God's word that the king desires to be preached. You may say to me, what do you mean? That now you're saying that the king desires that the truth of God's word will be preached? Well, verse 15 and 16 conveys something to us. Micaiah says to him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. What a message from Micaiah. But King Ahab was not taken back by his message. Verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee, that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So this has happened more than one occasion. This was most likely a regular occurrence between Ahab and Micaiah. Micaiah was known as preaching a message contrary to the 400 prophets. And no doubt this is a degree of sarcasm here towards the king. But the king knows exactly what it is. And the king says to him, how many times have I to command you? How many times have I to charge you? From you, I want the truth of God. That's amazing to think, isn't it? He preferred the popular message of support over the truth of God. He knew that Micaiah preached the truth. That he preached God's word. And he just blatantly denied and ignored the word of the Lord. Dear friends, what are we taught here once again with regards to Ahab? This is a kindness of the Lord. A kindness of the Lord to King Ahab. That there was one preacher who unashamedly preached God's truth to the king. And he was fearless because he preached the word with sharp application. Look at verse 17. He makes application to the king with regards to the word he preached in verse 6, verse 16. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. There's the sharp application, at the end of verse 17. Let them return to their house in peace. You're going to die. And Israel's going to be shepherdless. But guess what? Everyone's going to return in peace. So they don't have peace while you're king, but you're going to die. And the Lord said they're going to have peace when they return to their home. Sharp application of the word of God to the king. And the sad truth, dear congregation, is that the hearing of the word of God for Ahab was a mere formality. That's all it was. A mere formality. He had heard the word of God many times from the mouth of Micaiah. That's why he hated him. But he still wanted the truth from him. And when the truth was given to him, it was a mere formality. Had no effect upon the king. No effect upon Ahab. Does the word of God have an effect upon you? Or is the hearing of the word of God to you a mere formality? You come, you hear. You hear, you go home. You come, you hear. You hear, you go home. Is it a mere formality? Well, dear friends, may I suggest to you that the hearing of the word of God as a mere formality is a deadly hearing of the word of God. As we'll see from King Ahab. The mere formality of the hearing of the word of God led to his death. He would die. You see, dear friends, I suggest to you that Ahab and his servants did not understand that this preacher, Micaiah, he was bound by the word he preached. He was bound by the word of God. He was not free to change the word. You see, in order for the word of God to be free, the word of God to be at liberty, the preacher is bound by that word that he preaches. The preacher is bound and the word is free. And this is what they didn't understand with Micaiah. And this is what the world didn't understand with the apostles in Acts in chapter 4. And this is what the world doesn't understand today with faithful preachers of the word of God. We are not at liberty to change God's word. We are bound by God's word in order that God's word would have liberty to go forth. See, God's word cannot be bound. God's word is free, and it must remain free in the preaching thereof. This preacher was bound by the word, and yet the word of God was free. And this is what made him a powerful preacher. That's what made him a powerful preacher. Unafraid to declare the whole counsel of God. And that's what he declared. Verse 19 to 22. You see, the power of a powerful preacher does not reside in the preacher himself, but it resides in the word of God having free course, going forth at liberty and accompanied by the Spirit of God. Unafraid was Micaiah to declare the whole counsel of God. And that's what he does, verse 19 to 22. And here we're painted another royal court. We have the royal court of Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Here we're given the court of heaven. And it will profit us to read these verses again. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee." So the Lord sent forth a lying spirit. You may say, but surely how can God do that? How can God deceive Ahab? How can God have a deceiving spirit? Well, he doesn't. Because there's no deception here. There's no deceiving. The prophet Micaiah declares the whole counsel of God. He tells what God has done. God has sent the lying spirit into the mouth of your prophets. The judgment of God has come upon Ahab. So there's no difficulty with that passage, because the truth is declared. No one is deceived. There's no deception at all, because the counsel of God has been declared. Now this should remind us of 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, New Testament. God does not change. We read in verse 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." What a warning we have of the counsel of God in the New Testament. Those that receive not the love of the truth. that they might be saved. They better watch out. They better beware, because we read here, and God has declared it, that God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We see this in the lives of men, believing lies here, there, and everywhere, and rejecting the truth of God in Jesus Christ. The power of the preacher does not lie within himself, but is of God and his word of truth, that which is at perfect liberty. You see, there is no power promised to a preacher who is a changer of God's truth. No promise of power to those who change the word of God to fit the preference of men. Those who attempt, therefore, to bind God's truth. Binding God's truth in order that it may support a man's iniquity or a man's preference in the ways of sin. A powerful preacher. But thirdly, a persecuted preacher. Now, when one is unpopular and one is powerful, they will be a persecuted preacher. An unpopular yet powerful preacher will also be, in the light of things, a persecuted preacher. What do I mean in the light of things? When we're in a day of low ebb and low things. Just as it is here with Micaiah. He's living in an age, if it like ourselves, when the cause of God seems low in the land. And a preacher of God's word will in those days be unpopular. Humiliation and affliction is brought to God's preacher simply because of God's word faithfully preached. And this is the reason. Because he was faithful to the word of God. Look at Zedekiah verse 24. He smacks Micaiah on the mouth. And then we have, as it were, in verse 26, the command to take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king. What were they to do with him? Incarcerate him. Imprison him. Give him the bread of affliction and the bread of water till I come in peace. Remember, the king desired the truth of God to be preached to him. And after he heard the truth of God, because he didn't like it, he locked up Micaiah, the unpopular preacher. What was he trying to do? Ahab was trying to bind the word of God. Just like those prophets of his bind God's word, conform it to his will. This is what he sought to do with Micaiah. He didn't like what he heard, even though he desired to hear it. We're funny creatures, aren't we? And we see it here in Ahab. How does he get rid of the word of God? Put the preacher of God's word in prison. Get him out of here until I return again in peace. This is the reason. He's been faithful to the word of God. And we've seen this throughout the history of the church. There's been many Micaiahs who have been persecuted for the truth of God's word, because they would not move an inch, as it were, in the preaching of truth. He's subject to mockery. That's what this was in verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered the same, remember, didn't he? And the servant shouldn't expect any better or any greater than the master. Here Micaiah, as it were, was smacked on the face, and he was mocked with regards to the smacking. We think of the affliction and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, mocked in the same manner, but to greater measure than that of Micaiah. He was incarcerated here by authority. It was the king's command that he would be put into prison. And yet, dear friends, the wonderful comfort is that the preacher is still preaching. After his mockery, after the authority for him to be in prison, the preacher is still preaching. Look at verse 28. And we can imagine this. Him being taken away to be locked up. And he cries out, and Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, responding to this verse 27, give him bread of affliction, give him bread of the water of affliction, until I come in peace. We can imagine Micaiah being taken away, and as he's taken away, he turns to the king, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. If you return in peace, I haven't spoken the word of the Lord. If you do not return, and everybody else will be in peace, I have spoken the word of the Lord. What we should notice here is that this prophet is unshaken. He's unmoved by the mockery, by the violence, by the imprisonment. He is unmoved, faithful to the end. You see, Micaiah can do nothing but preach the truth. They did not understand. He could do nothing. He couldn't submit to the king at all. He had to preach God's word. He couldn't but preach God's word. He couldn't contain it. Even if he tried to contain it, even if he put his hands over his mouth, the word of God would have come forth. Faithful preaching of the word of God. He was compelled, as it were. And we're constrained by the love of Christ, aren't we? He was compelled, constrained by the kingdom of God. And for the glory of God. His preaching will be tested by his faithfulness to it. And we should note that in verse 28, as he is being carried away, that his sermon is from Deuteronomy 18, verse 20 to 22. If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. That's the portion of scripture he's preaching. That portion of scripture that warns against false prophets. How do we know false prophets? Because the word that they speak does not come to pass. But the word that I speak, my prophets speak, it shall come to pass. His preaching will be tested by his faithfulness to the word of God. And that is the same for every preacher of the word of God. Our faithfulness is not tested by our success. Our preaching is not tested by our success. But our preaching will be tested on that day by our faithfulness. There are three lessons that we should learn from this in closing. Firstly, pray for preachers of the word. And I emphasize preachers, the person, the preacher himself. Pray for preachers of the word. Both in preparation and also in the act of preaching. The pressure to conform is just as much in the study as it is behind the pulpit. The pressure to tweak God's truth is just as strong in the study as it is in the pulpit. Pray for preachers. They may come to a portion of scripture that deals with adultery. And there may be one within the congregation who is an adulterer. And yet they may be the biggest giver in the church. Pray that preachers will not be influenced by that. But that preachers will preach the truth of God regardless of the cost. So pray for preachers. Secondly, pray for the word preached, emphasizing the word. Pray for the word preached before the preaching of the word, during the preaching of the word, and after the sermon of God's word. Pray that the word would have free course. that the liberty of God's word would be known, and that God's word would accomplish that to which it has been sent, that not one word would fall to the ground, but that every word of truth will be held up by the Spirit of truth and would accomplish that to which it has been sent. Thirdly and finally, pray for the hearing of the word preached, emphasizing the hearing thereof. Pray for yourself. We all need help in the hearing of the word of God. Pray for others. What did Micaiah cry out after he preached from Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 28? Hearken, O people, every one of you. That was his parting prayer to his sermon. His faithfulness remained after the sermon was preached. His prayer was that they would hearken unto the word of God. And we have been considering the parables, haven't we? What does the Lord Jesus say? How do you hear this parable? Let him that have ears hear. If one has been faithful in preaching, dear friends, let us be faithful in our hearing. Let us strive to be faithful, to hear that which the Lord would say unto us. Well, may the Lord bless that word to each of our hearts. Let us stand for prayer.